who is coming on live now at this time for the next hour, speaking on religion and social issues. And so please stay tuned. And now I bring on our dearly beloved brother, friend, and imam, Murad Muhammad. Thank you, brother imam. You're on.
Well, thank you, brother imam. Assalamu alaikum to all of you out there in TV land. This is Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio. I'm coming to you at 8 o'clock p.m. I thank Allah for giving me the ability and the confidence, and more important, I am ecstatic to be able to talk to you out there in radio land. For you to take time out of your busy schedule to listen to me and to listen to all the presenters of New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks. We come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, and we try to enlighten you on so many things. Brother Imam Musa Mabui did a wonderful job in explaining to you about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is important to 1,500,000,000 Muslims around the world. And we don't want y'all to think that we in Al-Islam, and I always say Al-Islam, A-L, you know, our foreign brothers just could not put the God, which means A-L, as Al-Islam. They just say Islam. It's okay. At least it gives you ability to understand what is Islam. But it's not in the Holy Quran. You will not find Islam in the Holy Quran. It says Al-Islam. And I like to say that because if we all say it, you will begin to say Al-Islam instead of saying Islam. Because a lot of people got their own Islamic ways and their own thinking, their own theory, and they bring things that we never heard of associated with Islam. But it is Al-Islam. There's so many things that's being said that we allow it to exist because we're not perfect at all. It's your heart. That's important. Only Allah sees your heart. So if you say Islam in your heart, you mean Al-Islam, Allah is going to give it to you. And if you say Al-Islam is not in your heart, or it stands for nothing, nothing whatsoever. So it gives me, once again, the pleasure, I'm honored to put that belt. And because I have things that I would like to do with my family, Saturday, we come to you. Sunday, most families together, we come to you. Monday and Tuesday. And Tuesday is my special day because I've been on the air for over 5 years on Tuesday. And then we come to you Wednesday and Thursday. But Friday is a good day. It's Juma Day. And surely this is not a second Juma. No, it's only one Juma. But it's in the evening. And Brother Imam Musa gives his Juma during the day, and he tapes it, and he replays it on Friday. So you can hear what we do as imams when we're doing Juma. I was just speaking about that with my children, most importantly my son who came to visit me, how important Juma is. Now the Christians, they like Sunday. Sunday is their holy day, and that's when they go to church, and they call that God's day. The Jews have Saturday. Saturday means just that, Sabbath day. And that means God's day. But we, the Muslims, we don't have a special day for God. Then why do we come together on Friday? Because of congregation. That's all Juma means, that we come together to pray as one. That's what Allah wants of us. One soul, one Ummah, one God. And when you come there, Allah rewards you as if you prayed 1,000 prayers. Yes. Now, it will take you a long time to pray 1,000 prayers. However, you get those blessings of praying 1,000 times if you only came to Juma. But listen to what God says. I didn't say it. God said it. God said, If you only but know, you will drop everything and rush to Juma. Why? Because you're going to get those 1,000 blessings. Well, you might not comprehend. Yes, you will. You will get those 1,000 blessings. It's called barakat in al-Islam. Nevertheless, if you only knew, Allah said, if you only but know. So if you knew that you are wiped of all sins, brothers and sisters, every sin that you have committed from Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you drop everything on Friday, Allah will clear you from all your sins. As if you came in the world brand new. Now you tell me what man or woman didn't commit a sin. It doesn't have to be a physical sin. You can think it. You can wrestle it in your mind. Should I do it or should I not do it? But you really want to do it, but you didn't do it. It's a sin. So Allah says he will erase that from you if you rush the Juma. Why? Is that God's day? No, every day is God's day. That is for the congregation of men and women coming together and serving Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And so therefore, this evening, I would like to touch on some of these things that we hear, but we can't grasp it in our mind. And I want to go deep into it on Tuesday. Why? Because Tuesday I got 2 hours, not hour, 2 hours. That's enough time for me to give you some enlightening of things that we say, things that we act upon, things that we make up in our own minds, things that people tell you as if they know it is to be a actual fact. Yes, we go to Juma and we sit and we listen to the khutbah. It's what you're supposed to do. But the problem I'm having today, when the imam say takbir, automatically we say Allahu Akbar. Actually, we shouldn't say that during Juma. For Juma is the first part is the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran, you talk about God. God this, God that, what God says, what God wants from us. Yes, you speak of the Quran because everything in the Quran is Allah. So if you do that, that's your first part. But the second part is community. Now you can talk about anything pertaining to community. Well, I had a son said to me, he said, Dad, that was a pretty good coupon. But the problem with that coupon that I was listening to, it didn't tell you about everyday life. And things go on that we are now paying attention to. I said, like what? He said, politics. He said, we're trying to learn politics, especially when you see that Islamic sister, Omar, who he believes is doing a wonderful job. And she went against the grain. There's not too many people go against the grain. And there's a lot of politicians that say they're Muslims in al-Islam, but they're not going to go against the grain. No, why? They want to be in position. But position is to give back. Position is to teach others what we have to look for. I said, what else? He said, well, they're not talking about things that goes on in life that one might run into. Yes, politics is one, but how do we live every day? What do we supposed to do every day? Now, my son had a point, and I'll tell you why. Because that's what frustrates me. What frustrates me is that al-Islam is a religion that is the simple things in life. You don't have to be educated to know al-Islam and to read the Quran. In the Quran is for those who believe that they can't comprehend, for those who believe it's not about them, for those who believe they're not educated. Anything small that's good in this world is in the crying. Anything big in this world is in the Word of God. So if you understand that, then you should read it and see for yourself that all Allah is doing is talking to your nature. And so therefore, the brothers come in and they want to come down front, which they came in late, so stay in the back and make your sunnah prayer. But to come down front and stand up and take the tensions away from the kupa, to watch you make your sunnah, it's not common sense. But no one taught that, brother. Is that once that adam is called and the prayer begins, yes, that's prayer. Don't you know every time at 1 o'clock you're doing Zohr, Salat to Zohr? So if you're doing Zohr, why are you doing Zohr at the kupa? Because that's the only time Allah lets you speak out loud. Allah don't need us to speak. So this must be different, because at 12 o'clock it's solid. And that's from 12 or 1 in some areas. That's our Zohr prayer. But when you go to Asr, when you go to Asr Salat, what is that? That is your prayer that you don't speak. So Allah don't need us to speak when the lights are on. The revelation is lit. Allah said, you can see it for yourselves. I don't need you to speak. But on Friday, that's why it's two of the kupa speaking and two of the rak'ahs, two rak'ahs, and you speaking. Did you ever thought about that? Why just on Friday? Oh, some of these people say, that's God's day. No, I just told you, every day is God's day. But because you come together as a congregation, you come together as one family, you come together as one ummah, you come together as Allah wants us to be, as he created Adam and Eve as one, then he rewards you. And you've given him praise collectively with one person leading you to prayer, and that's the imam. And so therefore, when he speaks, you're not supposed to say anything. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. No. Now, Allah's not going to punish you because you don't know. But if you teach them, they will not speak. You may say something wrong. We can't speak to you. Why? You can't interrupt Jumba. You have to listen to the kupa. And the brother can say whatever he thinks is on his mind to say. But he can't use his own style. We are standing in the position of the absence of Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they gave us the blueprint how to create Jumba. Simple as that. So now that revelation is written, and Allah don't need us to speak. I don't care, he can be a scholar. He can be a uliman. He can be an imam. I don't care what he want to call himself. Allah don't want you to speak. So your prayer is silent while the lights are on. That's what it means, pressure. Pressure on who? Pressure on the ulamas, the knowledge men, to keep revelation alive. Keep it alive, but not doing your salat. You're not that supposed to speak. Because why? It's still lit. But now you're sending it down to darkness. Now when darkness comes, it's not lit no more. And now you can speak out loud and read the Holy Quran. And tune in on Tuesday, and I will go a little further, but you got the point. So therefore, brothers, when you come into the masala, you either come up front, if they so spread apart, you have a right, but you be quiet, and you don't shake people's hands. Assalamu alaikum. Or you come in there whispering to a brother while the kupa's coming on. No, very unintelligent. But you do it. And more important, You don't wear a billboard. You don't have your name on your hat or name of some designer on your clothing. You can't come to Juma wa Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Assalamu Alaikum, Musa. Any name you want should not be on your shirt, should not be on your head, because why? It attracts. So you don't wear it. Not even a picture. A picture of your mother. A picture of yourself. No, it's not allowed. Because you're supposed to give your full attention on the coupon. And if you come in late, if you come in late, brother, and you didn't get the first half of the Kupa, then you didn't do the four prayers, the four rakats, because it's four rakats doing Zuhr. It's four rakats doing Asr. So you didn't get the four, because why? You was late. Now, is America an Islamic country? No. So you may be late because of traffic. You may be late because you're coming from a job. So Allah will reward you as if you did come on the first part of the Jumma. Why? Good intentions. That's what it's all about. Nothing happens unless Allah wills it. And he only wills what is good intention. But what about things happening that's bad? He permits it, meaning he's not a part of anything that is not clean, anything that's not righteous. Allah is not a part of that. And so therefore, we should learn these things. And this way, we can speak to the people that are sitting on the rug and give them full understanding, understanding what Al-Islam is all about. This is Murad Muhammad. And once again, comes after Musa, Muslim Abui, and he plays his tape from Juma, which a lot of people are hearing and learning, and I believe they are grasping the understanding. And then I come on to talk to you the way I am talking to you. My studying, brothers and sisters, takes hours. And my wife sometimes say, you ought to go to bed. You are not sleeping. You're up too late. I can truly tell you, I can get on a subject and I can be reading the Quran. And I just got to keep searching, because something tells me, as Imam Warasdeen Muhammad, I'm a student of Imam Warasdeen Muhammad, is to dig a little deeper. And dig a little deeper is to not look at it on the surface. Dig a little deeper. Find the matter that's behind what Allah says. Dig a little deeper means that the unseen is what Allah wants from us. Seeing the moon and the stars and the sun, seeing the trees and the seven seas, and seeing all those things that Allah has allowed us to see that is physical. That's one thing. It's okay. But to see that what you cannot see is what Allah wants you to see him. He's that you cannot touch or feel or see with the naked eye. But you can see Allah in your heart. You can see Allah in your good intentions. You can see Allah in the intellectual mind that Allah has given to us. Imam Warasdeen Muhammad, when he came in 1975, he said, the divine mind. So we say, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the worlds. We thank Allah that created the heavens and the earth and everything between it, the system of all knowledge. We thank him for giving to us a mercy in Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, the seal of the Prophet, a gift that he has given to us as a perfect example of all human beings. He's not just for us that's in al-Islam. He's an example for every human being that walks the planet Earth. We salute him with the standing salute, the excellent salute, that salute that was given to mankind. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet and his descendants and his companion. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sa'atu wa salam wa sawasu ali kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salakallah wa deen. And brothers and sisters, you will hear me many times use that ending, Salakallah wa deen, which means surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. Yes, he does. But what we don't understand, and some things that we can't grasp in our mind, that the word Ameen, Ameen, the word Ameen is only after Fatiha. Yes. You use Fatiha, seven levels of Fatiha. You use Fatiha, you say Ameen. That is the open of the dawn, of the light, of the understanding of the human being. You come into the light of understanding. The dawn is when you open your eyes and you begin to see. But now you got to do more physically, see. You have to comprehend. And so you have to read Iqra. Allah says, read. Read, Muhammad. Read in the name of your Lord that created. But anything beyond the Fatiha, Baqarah, all the way to Hanas, is Sadaqallah Badim, if you want to use the Arabic term. If you want to use the English terms, you say, surely God Almighty speaks the truth. All of the surahs of the Quran is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, except Surah 9. Why? That surah continues, and that's why it doesn't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim when it gets to the 9, because it's just a continuation of the surah prior to it. That's the only one in the Quran you don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But you don't say Ameen. The brothers do it all the time, and I believe some of these ma'ams just forget. They don't recollect that they shouldn't be saying to you Ameen after doing a dua. And another thing, these duas that we do, we don't need you to do a dua for us. Every individual must stand on his own two feet, and we know how to make dua. And so we're not making dua for people out here in the world, because we can do that in our sunnah. I got my own dua. You got your own dua. I don't need to have your dua to be doing dua for me or anyone else. So we make sunnah prayer. Sunnah prayer teaches you how to lead prayer, because you have to lead yourself. Everybody can't lead you. You have to lead yourself, because on the final day of judgment, you will be answered. But you cannot speak. Your lips be sealed. Well, what's going to speak for you? Your portfolio. You have a portfolio. And that portfolio is written by the angel that sit on your shoulder. There's one angel on the right, and that angel whispered to you, somebody told me not to do that. That's the angel on the right. That's the angel that takes you to heaven. But when you turn a deaf ear to that angel, brothers and sisters, then he don't talk to you anymore. But the angel on the left, he will take you to hell. You know the saying, everything in the dark must come to the light. Well, you better pray it comes to the light in this world while you're alive. Because why? You can repent and you can erase it. But final day of judgment, everything in the dark will come to the light. You can't clean it up. It's over with. Once you pass, that's it. There's no more repenting. and your portfolio will be read on that final day. And if that portfolio is in your left hand, you're going to hell. If you, the portfolio is in your back, behind your back, you're going to hell fire. But if that portfolio is in your right hand, you made it. You made it. Allah says, welcome, human. Welcome to paradise. But you can be in paradise, brothers and sisters, while you live. You don't have to play Satan's world. Satan plots and plans, but God plans. And God is the best of planner. And he taught us to stay in our nature, stay in our good nature. Now, I heard someone say, even today, that there's two types of nature. I don't know where that one comes from, but okay. There's two types of nature. There's one that we get out of. No, you got out of your spirit. You can't get out of your nature. That nature you can't touch, Satan can't touch, I can't touch. No one could touch that nature. Satan cannot turn that nature to be anything except what Allah created. I'll give you an example. The heart. The heart of the human being, I don't care what complexity is, what nationality is, how tall, how smart, how educated, how uneducated he or she may be. Take that heart out of that body and put it in the sun. It's going to turn black. It's a heart. And the heart is created by Allah himself, and the only one knows that heart is Allah. But you can leave your spirit. Your spirit can travel. Your spirit can take you to China, and you ain't never been to China in your life. But that spirit can take you there, and that spirit can talk to you. He'll say, hey, human, come out here and define where I'm at. Why? Because the spirit can't tell you that. Allah made you, create you to be very highly educated. It brings me to a point. There's a brother in the prison. He wrote a book called Where the Sun Don't Shine. He was on death row for 40 years. He never did it. But he smelled people burning. Soon they were getting ready to burn him. And he told the authorities, can you give me a mask or something? He said, no, get used to it because you're going to burn too. So he knew he didn't do it. So in order for him to live that many years in solitary confinement, he wrote a book, and this is what he said. Do you know I was married to Howie Barry? That beautiful, gorgeous woman that's an actress? Yeah, that's my wife. We've been married for 4 years. 4 years, yes. We went to China. We went to Paris. We went to England. What is he talking about? He said, yes, I was married. And as soon as I heard that, I said, that is the manifestation of what Allah is saying. The spirit can leave that solitary confinement. They had the body, but because the body was locked up, they did not have to, whatever it was, they couldn't lock his spirit up. So his spirit went outside those walls and traveled. And he said, now, that kept me on ground zero. That kept me wanting things out of life. And sure enough, they found him not guilty. He didn't do it. I think that's a great metaphor, how the spirit can leave the soul and travel around this world, and the spirit will call you if you are in tune with your spirit. But if you leave your spirit, you don't have that function anymore. You're not in tune with your nature. You're in tune of this world. And so you allow yourself to now become a imp for the jinn. Now, the brother talked about the jinn too. He said there couldn't be good jinns, but there are jinns to help you. Now, that kind of confused people if he would have said to them that Allah says in the Holy Quran, there's a group of jinns that heard a beautiful recital. Nor a jinn, no man should ignore that recital. So what is Allah saying? All jinns are not with Satan. Jinns have accepted Allah, and they heard a beautiful recital. Now, what recital did they hear? Because there was no Quran back then. The Quran is our nature. And when one expressed their beautiful nature, like Muhammad the Prophet did, the reason most people gravitated to him, because he was Al-Amin. Yes. He was Hanif. Yes. He was all these good names that he has acted in his nature. You can't give it to him as education because he had no education. He was unlearned. So you can't say it was that. You can't say he was a Jew or a Christian or he was a part of idol gods. No. He never, ever allowed himself to be a part of any of those religions. But they respected him for his honesty and integrity, his moral decency. Where did it come from? He was acting in his nature. So Allah goes on to say Muhammad the Prophet was different than most of us. What is that, Lord? We got out of our nature. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers be upon him, never got out of his nature. That's what made him perfect. As a human being. Yes, do he slip? Yes, do he make mistakes? He's human. Tell him, Muhammad. That's what he asked him. He said, tell him, Muhammad, that you are a mortal human being just like them. So we don't ever think the way we think about Jesus, make him his son or make him a god. No, that will never happen again. He's a slave servant to Allah. And he's a messenger. Allah needs no prophet. We can't call him a prophet because why? We ain't sent him to prophesize anything. Only Allah. He's a prophet for Allah. I'm sorry. He's a prophet for us. He's a messenger of God. Yes, he's a messenger of God. And because he's a messenger of God, that makes him submit to nothing else but God's will. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And so what's happening today coming amongst us, and because they had a crash course overseas, they learned the Arabiya. And when you learn the Arabiya, of course, that's God's language, and it sounds good. But most people have given them and taught them to teach it the way they want you to teach it, meaning they have no good intentions. And so we do just that. And they got so much money that they pay them. They literally, brothers and sisters, pay them. Why? Because we got away. Who is we? Well, let's look at it this way. Allah gave it to the Jews. The Jews had it first. They was called the chosen one. That's why they're so successful today. Because Allah allowed them to be the chosen one. But they kept it for themselves. So Allah had to build. He had to build in his mind. Let's listen, brothers and sisters. He had to build in his mind that Allah had to send him a righteous man. A righteous man he had to send him. And that righteous man had to be pure. So they had to come out of a pure womb. So Mary was it. So Mary gave birth a human being, which is Jesus, and everybody believed that was sensational. But we, the Jews, we, the Christians, we, those in Al-Islam, accept. We accept. So she was pure, but it doesn't mean she was a virgin from her waist down. It meant that she was a virgin of this world, and she didn't need this world to teach her. She needed God himself to teach what she needed to teach a son that she raised, who was Jesus. His job was to cut down the fig tree. Now, why was it the apple tree, pear tree? Because the fig tree only means that the fruit fig got a lot of seeds. Seeds is what you plant to grow. So they used the word seeds, the scholars, so you could understand that the Jews cannot multiply anymore. Tree represents knowledge, so he cut down the fig tree. That's all it meant. And that stopped the Jews. However, the Jews created Christianity. Oh, I know you and Christianity don't know that. But if he's stopping the Jews, why would he allow the Jews to create Christianity? Well, every Jew wasn't bad. There were some good Jews. There's good Jews right now today. There's Jews don't like what's going on in Israel, but they can't do anything about it. So it was taught that the righteous man changed anything wrong with their hands, and they can't change it with their hands. They change it with their tongue. And if they can't change it with your tongue, they would change it with their heart. They'll pray for it. Well, there's no Jew will try to get in the way of Israel. They'll lose their life. And if they talk about it, they will ruin their whole career. So you can't do nothing about it but pray for it. However, the good Jews created Christianity. But here comes that diabolical mind of a Jew, and he decided to make it a business. So he made it physical. He made Jesus God. And then when you finally start waking up that Jesus can't be God, then he made Jesus what? The Son of God. And you went for that. And so therefore, by doing that, he was able to rule you. Because if you believe that God has a son and he's the creator of everything, the heavens and the earth, and surely don't need a son. They took the scripture of son, S-U-N, and make S-U-N S-O-N. S-O-N became what? Your physical son. You went for it. The cross is like the crossroad. You have to be balanced. Straight up is the horizontal, is the balance. When a guy walks a tightrope, he got to have a long pole. Why? To balance himself. If you look at it, it's a cross. So the cross is to be balanced. And balance in what? Balance in your knowledge. Don't be too far to the right or you'll fall off that tightrope. And don't be too far to the left. You must come straight down the middle and be duly proportioned in your understanding. And so it made it a physical idol God. They drew a physical cross. And you buy it. You hang it on your mirror in the car. You'll put it up on everything you wear around your neck because you believe the cross will save you. When I was a little kid, I thought the same thing. But the way I looked at it, that this vampire was biting everybody, sucked the blood from the neck. And this priest took his cross, and the vampire took one step back and two forward and bit the hell out of him. That terrified me at 10 years old. 10 years old, I wanted to know, why is the cross protecting him? And as I got older and began to read Revelation, I realized it wasn't the cross. It's who you are. And that vampire knew you was a fake. And that's why he bit him. So it had nothing to do with the cross. Well, in reality, theoretically speaking, it do not have nothing to do with a physical cross. Then they made the slave master's picture to be Jesus. Oh, do we love Jesus. Why? Because he's the only white man that didn't hurt us. You know, when our old ancestors came over there, they used to say, you can have this honey, you can have this land, you can have this God and this gold, but give us Jesus. Yes, and you thought they meant Jesus Christ. No, the boat they wanted back came over, was named Jesus. And they felt that they can get that boat back and get on the boat and do what? And go back home. Well, of course, that did not happen. But we fell in love with Jesus because that white man was hanging our father, castrating our brothers, raping our mothers, putting us in boiled water, eating us like it would have a picnic, which they call pick a nigger. I said, all these things was happening to us. But what happened, brothers and sisters? What happened? They made Jesus look like him. Blonde hair, blue eyes, pale face. It was the biggest trick in the history of tricks. Then they gave us Santa Claus. We worked hard, spent our hard-earned money. And we bring them toys, and our children are so happy with Santa Claus. Not daddy, not mama. Santa Claus, and what he look like? White, with a white beard. And he comes on a sleigh with reindeers, and he comes down the chimney, ho, 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 and your mother stay up late and give him cookies to eat. But you know when I woke up? I woke up when I heard this song. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. What the hell is my mama kissing Santa Claus? He ain't my daddy. And I realized, that is the song they singing to us. Young man, he was kissing Santa Claus because Santa Claus is your daddy. And that's when I realized my daddy was buying them toys. So why is all this to fake us out and use religion in doing so? So now you take the pill and you eat the pill, plus of Jesus, and you drink wine. I always say no wine before it's time, but you eat, drink wine because that's the blood of Jesus. And brothers and sisters, told them that you will never believe in one God. You have to give them the Trinity. And they were such savages that they was eating raw meat and they was drinking the blood of the animals. So make them think it's a religion. Give them the pill and tell them that's the flesh of the animal. But they said, Jesus, give them the wine that minds of the blood they drink and tell them that's Jesus. And that trick worked. They make trillions and trillions of dollars. And now you got the Catholic Church that made a law that the government cannot touch their law. And they were raping and molesting our children. They say two flesh come together is a sin. Well, that's no sin. Allah didn't create a sin. Two flesh coming together is Adam and Eve. But they didn't teach us that. They taught us it's a sin when you reach God. So since they went against matter, since they went against the creation of God, they doing what? Got your little 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 10-year-old bending over backwards. Why? Because you told them that's the closest thing to God. It's the real deal. It's the truth. Don't dial this network. New Africa, excellent enterprise on radio, block radio, because if you do, you're going to hear the truth. And so last but not least, I heard a very distinguished email. And the question was asked, and because he was on YouTube, he mentioned it, and it shouldn't have been mentioned. And what he said is that a brother took Shahada. He said, the brother took Shahada to him. And he bear witness that there's only but God, one God. And he bear witness that Muhammad, the prophet, was the seal of the prophet. And the brother said he was so pleased with him. And he said he was a captain, he was a lieutenant. He said, but he was a part of Minister Louis Farrakhan. And he went to Farrakhan, but when he came back, he told the brother, no, I bear witness that Farad is Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So it was time for prayer. So the brother said, oh, brother, you can't pray with us. This is my message. You have to get out of line. And the brother, I'm quite sure, was very prayed with his brother. And he read from the Surah of the Quran. And he spoke about it in Arabic. And he said, it means that a believer is a Muslim. And if you're not a believer, you're not a Muslim. So I can't allow you to practice shirk and pray with me. You're not my brother. Only my brother can pray with me. Now, brothers and sisters, I was shocked and amazed at this scholar. I'm shocked and amazed that this man said he gives his whole heart to the Quran. But I want to ask him, what the hell is you reading? You see, if you look at the story, Noah's three sons. The first son, because Noah was naked and was drunk, he looked at his father, and the son tried to help his daddy. And when he tried to help his daddy, couldn't really help him. They'd call him the white man. The second son, he looked at his daddy, but he was disgusted. They called him the yellow man and the brown man. And then there was the last son. This son looked at his daddy and ridiculed him. Oh, did he call him all kinds of names to shame him. Yes, this is true, brothers and sisters. And so what happened, whether you knew it or not, they called that one a nigger. And they named him black. And they named him the child of Ham. Now, I know some of y'all read about the child of Ham. If y'all know too much about that, you tune in on Tuesday from 7 to 9, and I'll go more into depth. The same people that called him black, why they call him black and they all black there in Africa is he had curly hair. So he felt he was better than the one with knotty hair. So they call him black. They call him the nigger and said that we here in America are the son of Ham. Yes, they believe that. Now, that's mathematically impossible, because their father is Noah. Who is Noah's father? Adam. If he came from the womb of Eve and his father is Adam, how did it change through the third son? It cannot happen. This is not intelligent. So you can't give us and say we're the children of his third son. We're the children of our father, Adam. You can't take that from them. So Allah breathed into Adam. He was nothing but clay, dirt, dust. He breathed into him some of his spirit because Satan didn't want to bow to him. He said, whoa, wait a minute. Wait till I breathe into him some of my spirit. And when Adam came alive, everybody submitted except these jinns that called themselves angels. And when he turned to the original angel and said, tell me your name. And the real angel said, I can't tell you our name, Lord. We only know what you teach us. He turned to Adam, who just came into heaven. He said, tell them their names. And he began to tell them the name of everybody, including the so-called angel bowed down to him inside your prayer, all but Iblis. Iblis did not. And Allah told him to get out of heaven. Now, how is it that if you look at the human being has a heart, and that heart is strictly the creation of God? Can nobody take the heart away from the human being? But in that heart, brothers and sisters, got a short period of time, so I can't go into the Arabia, but in that heart, it pumps Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Can no man change that heart? That heart is strictly submits to the will of Allah. And that's why Revelation wasn't written on the forehead of Muhammad the prophet, which is your intellect. So therefore, it was said if Revelation was written on the tallest mountain, it would crush the sand. Mount Everest would crush the sand. That's how heavy it is. But it was written on his chest. So he expanded his to be a mercy to all humanity. So how is it that an individual can tell you what that man believes? He has no right to say what God created, because there is a deep soul in feeling when your heart burns and hurts. That's the only time you know it's there. But in there, Allah reads you. And Allah says, in the beginning, so would be at the end. And all of us that came in this world in our righteous spirit have got out of that spirit. Got out of that spirit. So did our father. But he repented after he was tricked by Satan. And that's why he got kicked out of heaven. And we here on this planet going through trial and error. But on this planet, brothers and sisters, Allah will judge you because he knows what's deep in the heart of the human being. You have no right to judge another man. You have no right to tell a man to get out of the ranks because what you heard out of their mouth, because that's only Allah's job. You have no damn right to tell a man he's going to hell. Same individual. That same individual. 100 people, because one told him he's going to hell for killing 99. That same individual was traveling towards righteousness. That same individual dropped dead, and the angel of hell grabbed him to take him to hell. And the angel of heaven grabbed him to take him to heaven. And Allah sent a third angel. What's the problem? So he's going to hell because why? He killed. He killed. 99, no, he killed 100. He killed 100 going to hell. So Allah said, no, through the angel, he's traveling through towards righteousness. Say, well, let's measure it. And only why he made it a hand towards righteousness, because Allah moved the earth. That alone should tell you, you didn't create yourself, so you cannot judge yourself. That's all his permission by Allah. So in ending this, if you're a man, you better go back and study. Because to teach that for around the world, the scholars are saying, he's reading, but Allah did not bless him to get the comprehension. But thank you for listening. And I say anything to hurt anybody, it's not my intention. But if I said anything that was incorrect, I'm human. I believe you got the point. But I said anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your fitra and nature in which Allah has created you to be. Stand up in your taqwa, your divine mind, your intelligence. Don't give that to me. Give that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I greet you from our father, Adam. A biological father to the nation, all nations, nationality, the intellectual mind who he represents, to our brother Jesus Christ, to Muhammad the prophet, the seal of the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, and to Allah of the words in the Holy Quran that no one could take credit for. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. That comes from Allah, that's his words. Thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow from 7 to 8.
and I will continue this, inshallah. Thank you, may Allah be with you.